Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Tom Pelissero from the NFL Network joining us here on DFW Sports Station. First off, do you have any good dirt or stories on Jane Slater or Michael Irvin for us?
Those records are permanently sealed.
Everything gets leaked, Tom. You know we're going to find out either way. You may as well leak it right now. Irvin's listening, and Jane is a former coworker of ours.
Those are two of my favorite people at NFL Network. I always enjoy working with them and seeing them on TV.
Chicks be cray.
Tom, when you and I and Sean, when we got into this business, we really thought it was going to be sports. We thought it was going to be X's and O's and pointy balls and all the rest. When did you realize, no, now I also have to be an expert in medicine and the law?
Well, for me, I think it was when in my first year at NFL Network, I covered Ezekiel Elliott's federal court trial through three different courts in three different states.
Yeah.
That was a pretty quick introduction to the process. But, I mean, this is... I've been doing this for now, 18 years. I mean, there's always different things going on. There's always things outside the game. I cannot ever remember a situation like this year for a variety of different reasons, but chief among them being all the stuff that's actually football-related feels like kind of a blip. In other words, you know, I was on some Zoom or something recently, and I was being asked, like, specific questions about, like, breakout players or teams that can surprise. And I literally sit there going, I got to think about this because I haven't dedicated any brain power to this. It's been entirely based on COVID-19, all the adjustments, obviously social justice and other things that are, you know, taking the league's attention. But you know, we're sitting here. It's August 4th. There's going to be padded practices around the NFL in about 11, 12 days here. We are about 6 weeks away from the season opener. I mean, this is very real. There's going to be all kinds of unique challenges that the NFL has to get over. They're watching the other sports leagues closely. I also think that there is not a true equivalency to what any of the other sports leagues are doing, to what the NFL is doing from a protocol perspective, even from just a logistical perspective. So it's all very unique. I talk every morning. I was on the phone this morning with, you know, a general manager who was like talking about all the different memos and all the things they still don't have answers to. They finally started getting some answers after the NFL and the PA agreed last night to the language of the deal that they had agreed to in principle 10 days ago. And now you got to get to some of those other questions of, okay, when can we have guys in for tryouts? What is the protocol for that? You're gradually getting closer to those answers that the GMs have been waiting for months.
Tom Pelissero from NFL Network with us. And you're right about just trying to talk football, which obviously the audience, ours and yours, very much craving. But I don't know what to predict for the Jets. I didn't know they were going to lose their best player to an opt-out. I don't know what to say about the Broncos. Their starting right tackle is not going to play. I don't know what to say about the Eagles, because as you were one of the first to report, their coach is sick. It changes the game on a daily basis, not to mention the next 6-7 months.
There's no question. You know, with the situation with Doug Peterson, I mean, I know that it's, you know, it's a tough situation for the other coaches, because really they've been doing virtual meetings for the entire spring. So now Doug gets sick. It's COVID-19. And, you know, the reaction just to me as somebody covering it, I was struck by how much less the reaction was with this announcement versus when Sean Payton said that he had been diagnosed with COVID-19. So you're talking about, you know, 4 months, 5 months apart, and a disease that we knew very little about in March, a disease that we still know relatively little about now, but certainly have more information. It's not as if it's become, you know, in any way less serious, and we can, you know, sit here and I don't want to debate the numbers and the statistics and all that all day. But the point being, the reaction from a lot of the people I talked to about Doug was, he's asymptomatic. We're doing virtual meetings anyway. He's still going to be running those meetings. You know, it's pretty much normal outside of Deuce Staley is kind of taking over on the field. You know, the bigger impact for teams is going to be the opt-outs, which the deadline is 4 p.m. Eastern Thursday, barring a change in circumstances. You are going to see more opt-outs in the coming days, I guarantee you, because I was on the phone late last night with agents who were preparing their paperwork for some guys because they had been waiting to see the language on, for instance, if you have a player who didn't earn a credited season last year or is an undrafted rookie and he's high risk, a guy's got asthma or whatever it might be, does he get the stipend? The answer turns out, yes. An undrafted rookie, if he's got a high risk, if he's considered high risk definitionally by the CDC, then he's entitled to a $350,000 stipend with no offsets. For a lot of guys who are on the bubble, that's going to sway them. There's no question about it. And then you've got some star players, too, that are still continuing to look at this and wanting to gather all the information that they possibly can before they make a deadline.
Thomas, we would be not diligent in our duty if we didn't ask you, as you're talking to agents and throwing out the words star players, are there any Cowboys that we need heads ups on?
The last thing I'm going to do is speculate about any particular player making this consideration. I think it's fair to say, and obviously Jane Slater reported, the fullback opted out recently. There's obviously been a couple other players who have opted out. Certainly like every team, there's guys who have been on the fence, and there are some agents who have been trying to convince guys, listen, I know you want to make the decision now. I know you don't want to report for testing if you're not going to play, but please just wait till we have the language. Well, the language dropped about 10 or 11 p.m. last night.
Yeah.
I imagine there's some really interesting conversations going on with a lot of guys around the league today, and they will continue all the way up until Thursday.
Tom, take us through your latest with Ian Rappaport on the pandemic revision to the CBA, and what were the biggest things that jumped out to you with that?
Well, this is the second time today that somebody's credited Ian for just tweeting information that I had last night. We'll let that go. He snuck my name in there right at the end of the tweet. But there's a lot of different things. I mean, let's start with the rosters. It's some things that we've been talking about. 16-man practice squads. Up to six of those spots can go to guys with no limit on accrued seasons, which means you can have more veterans on your practice squad than you have in the past. You'd be able to protect four of those guys every Tuesday after 4 p.m. In other words, so teams couldn't poach them later in the week if you're, guarding against certain things. You're going to have unlimited returns from injured reserve. This is not COVID-19 guys. This is just, if you have a high ankle sprain, and that's normally 4 to 6 weeks, a lot of times that guy would stick on the active roster because you'd want him to come back sooner than 8 weeks. Well, now that's been cut down to 3 weeks, and you can return as many players as you want. Those are all things geared toward teams having as much flexibility as possible to have players on the field that they have trained, that have known their scheme. So you're not having, let's say, an outbreak that strikes five guys on a Thursday, and you're just signing guys off the street who don't know what they're doing and trying to plug them in. Salary cap-wise, that's another big one. We now know officially that teams will be able to wipe the entirety of a player's cap number off outside of any money they've actually already been paid in 2020. In other words, if you've got a guy like Juwan James from the Broncos who opted out yesterday, he got a $12 million signing bonus on a four-year deal last year. Not only does his $10 million base salary come off the books this year, $3 million in bonus proration comes off the books as well. So that's $13 million in 2020 cap space that the Broncos immediately have access to, which, again, provides you more flexibility if you have a roster hole potentially to go out and get someone. And then there was also a discipline schedule put out that touches on a lot of different things, including fines for if you refuse to wear PPE in the building, if you're not practicing social distancing, if you are not wearing the tracking device within the building, if you refuse a test. First time's a written warning. Second time, you can be fined up to $50,000. And then if you engage in any high-risk COVID-19 activities, things like going to a club, a bar, a house party without PPE on, which I don't know how many guys are going out with PPE on. I thought that was an interesting if you're wearing, a face shield and there's fewer than nine guys in the club, I don't know how good a time you're having, but apparently that would fall not in the higher risk behavior. Basically, if you're violating any state, regional, local laws, that's stuff that could be punished pretty severely, too, up to a one full game check or up to a four-game suspension for conduct detrimental. And it doesn't just apply to players. This is anyone in the building, your coaches, your doctors, your head athletic trainers, whatever. if anybody engages in high-risk behavior, you will face comparable discipline. And if the team refuses to discipline anybody, the commissioner can discipline the team in a different way, too. So there's a lot of different ways they're trying to enforce not just the testing and the contact tracing, but the education and the personal responsibility, because this is not a bubble. Guys will go home. They will not be wearing the tracking devices when they leave the facility. You've got to trust, at this time of year, 80 guys on your team, plus all the different support people, coaches, everybody else, to make good decisions, because all it takes is one person to get infected and give it to others. You're hopefully you're going to catch a lot of those with daily testing, especially early in camp, but the odds are something might slip through. You've got to hope the guys are making the right decisions to mitigate the risks, not just themselves, but everybody else.
From NFL Network, the outstanding Tom Pelissero here with Mike Fisher and Sean Sharif sitting in for RJ Choppy on 105.3 The Fan. To the fine schedule and a couple things that must be in the fine print. I can't refuse a COVID test and then go play, can I?
No. And I've seen a bunch of people replying to that tweet. Let's be very clear.
Yeah.
What this would be you refuse, and so you can't be on the field. Well, then you're not fulfilling your contractual obligation. So not only would you get a written warning and you're not following the protocol, so you're not allowed to be on the field, but then they can fine you on top of it. This is just an enforcement aspect, so you don't have guys, again, trying to get around certain things. They refuse to wear a mask when they're in meetings, whatever it is. It's just like every other fine. There's this huge schedule of fines that goes out to the teams every year.
Yeah.
It's agreed upon between the NFL and the PA. You know, you're late for team meetings or, you know, whatever it might be, you can be fined different amounts. It's specific numbers, so every team's not setting their own set of ground rules. In this case, these are just things added on top of it so that, yes, you would be fined, but also, absolutely, if you are not following the testing protocol and the treatment protocol, you're not going to be allowed to play.
We brought up the idea of not the NFL existing in a NBA-type bubble. That would be logistically impossible. But we've been talking for weeks here. What if a team did it? Maybe for 6 months, but surely for 4 months. It seems like the Saints are trying to do that. It seems like the Cowboys at the Star are uniquely equipped to do it. And it sounds like the Vikings are saying, we might like to do it, but we're not sure it's legal. What do you know there?
Well, it's not, because the NFLPA negotiated that unlike in every other year, a team cannot require a player to stay in a hotel. Now, with the Saints, there are, from my understanding, I think Wednesday's going to be the first day that they're staying in that hotel in New Orleans. A lot of the rookies, you know, first-year guys who don't have anywhere else, they don't have a permanent home,
yeah.
A lot of them are going to stay in the hotel. But there are some other veterans who, at least initially, are probably not going to stay in the hotel, and that is their right under this side letter to the CBA. You cannot require players to be in the hotel. So if a team wanted to do this, or let's say we got to a point, hypothetically, where there's outbreaks or the NFL decided to shift course, they would have to go back and bargain that with the players' union because they've already come to the agreement the players can't be required to stay in the hotel. I think that there's a false equivalency, and I think I mentioned this earlier, between football and baseball. There's different exposure risks. Certainly, baseball is more naturally on the field a social distancing friendly game, right? You're not, other than holding the guy on first base or a tag at home plate, you're not having a lot of, you know, face-to-face interaction. And I've been watching some baseball recently. A lot of the guys are wearing masks on the field anyway.
Yeah.
Football, you're head-to-head, you know, you are, especially in line play, there's tackling, you're breathing on each other. That has a different a level of exposure. But what people who have studied this, and I've talked to some of them, studied them across the sports, because the NFL is monitoring sports leagues, not just domestically, but around the world. A lot of what they're finding is when the guys are having outbreaks, when there are positive tests, they're not getting it on the field. It's not being spread on the field. It's being spread from bus drivers. It's being spread from flight attendants. It's being spread because guys go out to eat or they go play golf and ride in the same cart or whatever. It's all these other different things that they're doing, you know, in terms of travel. And we've seen, of course, the Marlins got shut down. A bunch of guys got stranded wherever they were. The Cardinals got shut down recently. Think about this. Some of the key differences between baseball and football, just from a travel perspective, because, again, that beyond guys going home is going to be one of your greatest risks. With baseball, you got a four-game series. You're in town at least for 3 nights, staying in a hotel, going to and from, interacting with different people. The NFL, if you read the travel protocols, you take a bus to the airport, you fly, you get on another bus, you go directly to the hotel, you don't leave the hotel, you eat room service, you stay within the hotel, there's, you know, in most cases, there's going to be nobody else staying in the hotel. The elevator's getting wiped down every time somebody uses it. If there's anybody else who's had access to the pool, the gym, the sauna, you're not allowed to go there. Then you're not allowed to have anybody into your room. You have to stay alone in your room. Then you go to the directly to the stadium, then directly from the stadium back to the airport. You do that 8 times total in the regular season for one night each. So that is a far lower exposure level just in terms of the travel aspect of this. Again, assuming, and you can't assume anything, but you hope guys are going to follow the rules. If not, they will be disciplined. I mean, this all fits together into this ecosystem that the NFL is trying to create. No, it's unrealistic that you are going to fly 200 people per club times 32 clubs, that's 6,000 people into one place, bubble them for 6 months. I mean, it's not realistic. Could you bubble them in terms of in the home cities? Hypothetically, but there are some challenges that come with that. And again, it'd be subject to further bargaining. But just keep that in mind. When you're seeing the numbers in baseball, when you're seeing the outbreaks, you're seeing games being canceled, remember, there are no four-night homestands in baseball, okay? That doesn't exist. This is going to be an entirely different thing. The NFL is certainly monitoring the other sports, and they'll continue to monitor. The data and the science is going to drive everything, and the protocols we're talking about today on August 4th could well be different on September 4th, October 4th, and so on.
Tom, we'll let you go with this. What are the chances that Dak Prescott gets the free agency after next season?
Is that a football question?
Yeah, we just got one. Time for one.
Contractual question, but close enough. I mean, I think that there's a lot of different things to consider there. You obviously know it's going to be a big number, 120% of the $31.4 million that he's making this year, so that pushes it, top of my head, to about 37 point something million. You know, that's a big number. He's got a new coach in Mike McCarthy, who's a guy I know really well. Certainly has a track record of doing good work with young quarterbacks and veteran quarterbacks alike. When you look at what he did with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay, I would expect, even after not participating in a lot of the virtual meetings through the offseason, that Dak Prescott is going to pick this thing up quickly and play well. If he does, then the Cowboys do have the second tag at their disposal, or, as they've continued to say, they'd like to sign him to a long-term deal. But the calculus changes the further you get into it. Just look back the Kirk Cousins situation, and Kirk Cousins was a guy that Washington never committed to publicly, never said, this is our guy, we want to sign him long-term. They had the trepidation. They never even made him an offer that would have guaranteed him more than 2 years into the future. With Dak, he's had a stronger offer than that, but generally speaking, as an agent, you're calculating your initial guarantee in the two-year cash flow off of two tags. Well, this would be now a second and third tag for Dak, which is a lot more expensive than the first and second tag for Dak. In other words, barring an injury or a huge drop-off in his play, the price is only going to go up. The Cowboys already weren't willing to go to the price with the length of deal that Dak Prescott wanted before, because he wanted a shorter deal than what they were offering. It's complicated, but you know, knowing the Jones family, knowing how the Cowboys operate, knowing that they are willing to commit to strong cash flows historically, you can bet if he plays well, they're going to make every effort to make Dak Prescott a Cowboy for what?
Tom Pelissero did the Mike McCarthy project for the NFL Network that blew up. Are you all in? Did that resell you on Mike McCarthy, and he'll be that much of a difference maker for the Cowboys?
Well, I've known Mike since 2007 when I was a young reporter covering the Packers for the Green Bay Press Gazette. So we go way back. I was struck just, you know, briefly in that interview just with the amount of emotion he showed. There are plenty of coaches who, you know, when you've had one job for, I think it was 12 years that he was in Green Bay, or 13 years, and you've won a Super Bowl, and, you know, you're getting, you know, you're beyond age 50. There's a lot of guys who, when they take that second, third head coaching job, it's kind of a retirement gig. And to see, you know, the emotion, how he talked about his family, how he talked about, you know, the passion. You saw it again in that video the Cowboy posted a day or two ago, where he's talking about everything that we're doing is about winning. That's what Mike's all about. And he's not about, let's just try to quick fix this thing and win one now. He wants to win for the long haul. They had a draft and develop program in Dallas. He always wanted to do more in free agency, which the Cowboys are always open to. I would absolutely expect you're going to find a really dialed in, I don't even want to say rejuvenated, because I don't think he was out of energy before in Green Bay. It's just, you got to a certain point. He'd been in one program for a long time. Now he can come in, implement some of the same things in Green Bay. I mean, absolutely. Do I think you're going to get Mike McCarthy at his best? Yes.
Tom, thank you so much. Jane Slater texted, I love this guy, rising star, incredibly ethical and trustworthy, unlike my co-host. Thank you, Tom. Stay safe.
She didn't say that part.
Thank you.
I like it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.